All right, if everybody's ready, we'll go ahead and call this regular scheduled October 14 Westminster City Council meeting to order. Certify quorum. And then join us for the invocation and pledge of allegiance by Councilman Glimp.
Hey, let me get my glasses on.
I'm not going to do a prayer, but I'm going to read a scripture here that I think applies to council and to administration and to the leaders of the city. It's from Philippians 2, verses 3 through 7. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness." Let's salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Glimp.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Anyone sign up for public comments? Who?
Just me.
Miss Jessica Glimp.
I imagine y'all can't believe and wonder what I'm going to talk about. So just wanted to say on behalf of the South Carolina Bigfoot Festival Committee, thank you to the City of Westminster, all the city staff, all of the businesses, all of the sponsors, all of the volunteers, the vendors, the speakers, everybody who came out. We appreciate you all. We appreciate the county and our ATAX gift that allowed us to purchase that new truss system, which got to be used for the first time this weekend, and it was great. And thank you to those of y'all who had to put it together, because I know that was a feat. So right now, our best estimate, and we're waiting on some other numbers to come in, is around 45 to 50,000 over the weekend. We have 27 states represented right now, but that is just purely from our QR code check-ins. That does not count any of the paper copies because we accidentally put the books in the bins and I can't reach them. So I'll have to go dig for those. In the last 30 days, we've had 13,956 website sessions compared to 9,803 during the same 30-day period a year ago. So that was about a 50% increase. Our post that we made during the festival on the 10th and the 11th on Facebook have received over 44,600 views in the last 4 days. And in the last 30 days, our Facebook posts have had over 270,851 views as of about 5 o'clock this afternoon. We also have a video that was posted by a Clemson resident who's one of our TikTok followers that is over 650,000 views as of today. So it's very crazy. If you have not seen it, I definitely recommend you watch it. We will have a debriefing meeting that a lot of y'all will be invited to on the 23rd. We would love to hear your comments, questions, concerns, and suggestions. So if you have anything, let me know. If y'all have any questions about anything, just ask.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Comment from the council?
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
As part of that, last year Jessica and Lacey Moore won the Amazing Race for United Way. So this year we hosted again, and Lacey hosted the Bluebird Nest as our scavenger hunt thing. So it all went well, and we thank the city for participating.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Well, thank y'all, Bigfoot Committee, all of y'all for everything you did. It was great. It went smooth. And I want to especially thank the two chiefs sitting over there for their attendance. I mean, the officers and all the first responders or firemen or whoever you had over there, they were just constantly moving up and down that street the whole day. It looked really good. Everybody noticed. So we really appreciate that. And Scott, your crews. Fantastic job, man. Appreciate it. Really do.
You can have
that. I want to let everybody know the community garden has gotten cleaned up. We had a group showed back up and getting some life back into that. They seemed highly interested and even brought some little goats to help eat the stuff they cleaned out, but they've got it cleaned up. And then West Oak Football has asked us, the council, to run the concession stand on October 24th at 6 p.m. Sharon said she would be willing to help. How many of y'all could attend that and help run the concession stand?
What did they say?
October 24th, next Friday.
Yes,
not this Friday. Yep.
I'm not.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi.
You'll be there?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay. Adam, you think you could?
Do my best.
All right. So we've got at least four. That's what they asked for. So anyone have anything else? All right, move on to a special recognition of our favorite fire chief, Michael Smith, for completing the South Carolina Fire Service Leadership Training and Certification. You got something to give us on that?
Well,
a little update on it?
We just wanted, Chief doesn't like for us to recognize him, but he went through some, I don't know what to call it, I'm going to say special chief training, and he came out and he is now a special chief. Bring his certificate back out. He said if it was one of his people, he'd be all about it. I said, but you're one of my people.
That's why you put him on the spot.
But our fire marshal, Jeff Claren, has also gone through this training, and I appreciate Chief Smith's leadership that he provides, not just to the fire department, but to all city departments. I don't know if you all know this or not, but really it doesn't matter what happens. If it's a multi-hour or multi-day event, Chief shows up with something to drink, make sure everybody's safe, and oftentimes we'll go get people something to eat. He does that for our utility crews all the time. Chief, we really appreciate it. This isn't meant to be a celebrate Chief Smith Day, but just wanted everybody to know how much we appreciate you. And on his own initiative, he went through this additional leadership class so that he could keep enhancing his skills. And we're very proud of him. Chief, thank you very much for doing that. Would you like to just say a word or two about the program that you went through?
Sure. The program I went through was the Executive Chief Officer Program. When I became Fire Chief, they didn't have a program such as this. Former Chief Smith, who was here, when he became president of the State Chiefs Association, him and some other well-known chiefs throughout the state created this program. And basically it is to prepare chief officers for taking the role of a chief, to know what's expected, kind of the paper trail, the paperwork, and responsibilities. I mainly took the class. I did learn some things in the class, but if I'm going to send my people to a class and a program, I want to vet the program. I would highly recommend the program, and I plan to send some more of our folks to it.
We appreciate you, Michael. We really do.
Thank you.
All right, next we'll move on to routine business. Comments from the Utilities Director, Mr. Paris.
That's exciting time on the agenda.
Yes, sir.
Everybody looks forward to it. Now, just some updates. On our skip project on sewer, our first phase is getting into the final section. In fact, we got to be in the contractor today. There was a huge tree they were taking down. And it was a sight to see. They had a mulcher that was just eating its way through it. The tree was about 3 foot diameter. But just letting us know they were falling down that section of right away.
Where's that at? Where was that at?
That down off of Pump House Road. Turned around on the back side.
Mm-hmm.
The phase two is, they were still hidden out on the middle of 123. They're making good progress. They're coming on up through there. They've got the section behind the old Burger King done. The only thing they got left to do there is to demo the old manholes. But they've got the bulk of that done. It's going to be testing later this week or early next week, just to make sure everything meets the specs that it should. But no any reason that it should. And on 123, they're coming along and they're patching as they go, so that they have it back up, it's ready for traffic. Gravel pack and blaze there for damaged vehicles or trip hazards, things like that. Also, on our electric project we've got going, gotten an advertisement bid for our underground project. It's 3 of our main circuits coming from the substation up to Abbey Street with some switchgear there so that we can, if we have an issue on one circuit, we can energize the tack with one or the other, tie them all together, gives a lot of options there. And it gets the wires back down in the ground, out of the air, and access to the street.
Is that where we've been having a lot of these outages lately?
That's one of the areas, yeah. There are trees that are 70 feet tall over there that are outside the right of way. Now, some of the things we've had recently have been several squirrels just popping fuses. They're notorious for that, and we've had a few limbs that have been blown across the line and just popped the fuse. So that's what some of the more recent ones have been. But this is one that could have a big impact on the entire system because it's coming straight out of the substation. So, we've got a few bidders interested in this and process the source of materials for it. So Taylor's excited and ready to get this thing going. We've got a meeting tomorrow at 2, pre-bid meeting.
Pre-bid tomorrow.
So hope to see a good turnout for that. A lot of questions. So moving right along. And the other thing we got right now is a couple of water guys pretty busy. And really the last few weeks has been Spectrum project. It's a fiber optic project there. We've had about 8 crews working throughout the system, and it's tough to keep ahead of those with locates and things like that because they're going several hundred to thousand feet a day, and they've got to just kind of run in and stay ahead of them. And then when they go through, they're also hitting mains, they're hitting services. They've hit several services within the last 2 weeks. The mains, some of those, Chris is working up to get some bills together for them. And I think they're causing grief for a lot of folks around, but that's been a major time use for us lately, has been keeping up with these guys. We did manage to get a business license out of one that came into town. That was our greeting to them. We made a phone call and said, you need a business license. In a few minutes, they called and got one. At least we got something from them. But hopefully these guys are going to be moving on out of the system within the next week or two. We're not the only ones that are having issues. I see them all over the county right now. Seems to be a huge project. But we're going to do our best to collect any damages that they've caused over the last few weeks. So.
Kevin, have you talked to Amanda Brock about that? You might want to. She asked me to. We've having problems with them up the mountain in several places, and then I found out from Upcountry Fiber today that they're not reimbursing them for the damages, that they're disputing them and winning. And it's become a big issue countywide. We even got Adam Duncan's on it, Tommy James is on it. I got a call from both of them today wanting us to give them any problems or issues we've had with them. They're trying to rein them in some way because they're just running rampant. They're not getting right-of-ways easements, going on private property, cutting water lines, running pipes through culverts, and just trucking them. So it's turned into a pretty big issue countywide. Anything else?
All I have, sir.
All right. Move on to comments from the administrator.
Sir, Mayor Randy, members of council. I think most of y'all have been riding around the Horton Fields. I feel like most of the town likes to ride by there now. It's become the place to cruise. Things are coming along pretty good. The sod's been laid on the fields. Yesterday, the grass sprayer, what do we call that?
Hydroseed.
Thank you. I can think of what they do, just can't think of the term sometimes. The hydroseeding they've been putting out. Scott and his guys are prepping to put a fence up. We have that portions of that decorative fence that we put at Anderson Park that will go along the front section, the new part of the park, and then the upper part of the park where we actually didn't construct anything, we'll put a different fence because we don't have enough of that to go all the way up there. The contractor for the concession stand is still on standby. We're waiting on a DOT encroachment permit as well as a stormwater permit from the state. We call them, we email them, we call them, we email them, and we've been doing that now for about a month. So it's probably time for us to figure out something new to do to see if we can shake those loose from those two agencies. Both of those were relatively simple permits that were submitted. Once we get those back, then the county can consider an issue of permit to AMW Construction to start the concession stand. Today, Herb had out there a vendor to put in a sound system, and the type of sound system that we're considering is one that can be segregated so each field can have its own system, and then there's one system for the whole site together. Once we get the concession stand constructed, then we'll turn lights on. The electric contractor, or the lighting contractor, did not want to do a temporary meter on that. I pushed back a little bit. I didn't push too hard. I thought we had already been under construction. We've had enough good weather. We could have had that concession stand done since you've awarded the bid. That has been frustrating. But I'm hopeful we'll get that soon. We'll get that underway. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. We have a lot of loose, small components that we still will be getting in. We placed the order for the hat and bat boxes. They'll be coming in. The temporary fencing on the big field will be coming in. All these things will start to trickle in over the next couple of weeks. I don't yet have a date to do the punch list with Mammoth. There's a section of concrete that they are responsible for still putting in, as well as the driveway concrete. The section of concrete that's interior can't be put in until the concession stand is built. So we're kind of going back and forth on. Mammoth would like for the concession stand contractor to do it. I want Mammoth to finish it because I want everything to be under one contractor. They used the phrase one choke, one throat to choke, and so I want to keep one throat choke. I want to hold them to that word. If you've been around, you see the craftsmanship out there is pretty good. The quality is good. There's probably some areas that you go out there, you see the Horton fence screening. There are very likely some areas we'll take that down. Their scope of work was to put it along all the fencing. But as Herb and I started looking at it, we believe there are places where people will like to sit outside that fence and watch the field, watch the game. And right now you wouldn't be able to see it because of that screen. So we'll very likely take that down. So once everything is put in, we get the punch list signed off on, then we can get in and Herb can make it his own. If you ever see him out there, he's smiling ear to ear. He always is. You start talking about it. So we're getting into kind of the nitty-gritty details of getting everything worked out. I think that is the most. Do any of y'all have any questions about that one, since that's kind of our big all right. Recently, and I have credit Reagan, I have credit me, we received a grant from the South Carolina Forestry Commission Tree Grant. We will receive 59 trees from the Forestry Commission. These are grown by female inmates down in Columbia, and then the Forestry Commission gives them away to cities and counties across the state. Last time, how many did we get? Probably about 20.
We got 13 last time.
13 last time. I said, let's go for broke. So we went for 59 this time. We'll be putting trees at City Hall and the area, that grassy area that is behind City Hall where the fire bays used to be. We'll be putting some at Veterans Park, and you'll probably be pleased to hear that Miss Juanita is leading that effort. Those dogwood trees will go exactly where she wants them to be, and the Boy Scouts are going to plant those. So I talked to Brian Allen about having Boy Scouts under Miss Juanita's leadership put those out there. So I got her the trees, she's managing, and we're staying out of her way. We also have quite a few that will go in at Anderson Park. You know, we lost a couple of big trees out there during Hurricane Helene, so it's a good time to start putting trees back in there. Very likely we'll take those two that are in there out. There's one that is leaning heavily over North Avenue. We just need to, Scott and I got to get up there and make that final determination. The one that's standing in the middle may be okay, just looks a bit awkward standing out there by itself. So we'll be looking at that. We also have a number of trees that will go over at the Horton complex as well as the existing Hall Street ball fields. They'll be mostly lined on the roads. Some the varieties on that are the giant green abrevadies, and if you just think of the Leland cypress tree, this is the most recent cultivar since those cypress trees started getting diseased. We'll be putting in quite a few dogwoods, some red maples, some Nelly Holly Stevens, and that's probably the bulk of them.
Pin oaks,
yeah. So we're going to keep the pin oaks from under, they'll be small, but you know, hopefully in 40 or 50 years they'll be giant trees, but we don't want Taylor's grandkids worrying about getting those from under the power lines. So we will put those in places that aren't under power lines, and the more ornamental trees like the dogwoods will go under the power line. So I think everybody will be pleased once we get that done. It'll kind of break up some of that that barrenness out there that you see at Hall Street and help clean up some of the edges, if you will, of Horton. And I would like to thank, if I may, the Lazy Daisies. May I thank the Lazy Daisies? I'm looking at you, David. I went and begged the Lazy Daisies to get us more trees. We had submitted a grant to the Fruit Tree Foundation to plant a tree orchard. It was going to be an apple orchard over at the pool field. If you think of where the baseball field is, it sits right here. There's an area that's over just to the, as you look down to the left of the parking lot. Nothing really grows over there. Kevin Hardman tells me the trees won't grow there, but I'm determined we are going to have a beautiful looking orchard in there. And the Lazy Daisies have agreed to buy 21 apple trees to go in there, so we'll have a small orchard. Part of what our thinking was when we applied to that Fruit Tree Foundation was that the stipulations with that grant were that the trees had to be made free to the public. And so when you look at where Dot's Kitchen is, you look at where the Westminster Senior Outreach is, and you also see where the American Legion is, that's great, as long as, and also for the people who are coming in there to play baseball. We want those to be available to the community. Probably take a few years to get there. I don't yet know what the varieties will be. There are some apple trees that self-pollinate, and then there are some that need other species to do the cross-pollination with. So I've already talked with the folks at Headley about which trees would go where, and they have a formula that we'll be following. But thank you very much to the Lazy Daisies. You are always very, very kind to us.
Kevin, do we have topsoil for those trees?
So the way we have been doing these trees, Scott and I have talked about it, I don't know, over the last couple of years, we've planted nearly 100 trees, and we have used the soil amendment in the bags that we have bought from Headley. We've mixed it with the soil, we've put them in, and then we put a thing called a tree diaper around it,
mm-hmm.
and we've lost one red bud out of roughly that 100 that we've planted heretofore. So I'm expecting that same formula will work again as we keep planting all of these trees that we'll put in, and then we also put
all right, well, I've got topsoil at the shop if y'all need it. I'll donate that. I've got enough for probably a small dump truck load. I do a lot of trees. We just been this mulch that's been sitting there rotting for 4 years. So it ought to be good.
We'll send Scott out. Yeah, I think the only person who likes trees as much as I do is Scott. Reagan tells me enough with the trees already, but people keep giving us trees, and we did lose a substantial amount of our tree canopy to Helene.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy how quick you get used to those trees not being there, planting them for the next generation. The saying is the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, then the second best time is today. So,
yeah.
Well, I really hope that we will have the tree orchard ready to go for Arbor Day. That will be our goal for the tree orchard.
Well, one other thing, the ROTC, and there would seem like there were two other groups at West Oak that told me several years ago if we ever had anything they could do to volunteer to help, you might want to reach out to them, or I can reach out to them and they may have some.
Do you know who the new commandant is at West Oak? You know, the one I had been talking with that had helped us out at Hall Street retired last year, and I don't know who.
Then I don't know, that's one I knew. But yeah, they've offered and asked for volunteer opportunities for their students, so.
Kevin Smith.
Kevin, see related to you?
He is not. We did go to school together, though.
All right, Chief, I'll get that.
I got his number. I'll get to you.
Yeah, they're all the time looking for volunteer opportunities for them kids, so that might be something we could do.
All right, and then I don't have a streetscape update because you actually have that as an action item on your agenda, so you'll be brief. Reagan has been doing that work. But I did want to throw in lieu of that, typically on election nights, the city clerk has been at the polling location to read off the vote tally.
Right.
Kylie and I spoke with Christy Bird. That is not a requirement that we have the city clerk do that. So we're not planning to do that unless you all have any consternation about us not doing it. The election is run by the Oconee County Elections Commission. We don't have anything to do with it. Jennifer Adams and then Rebecca, I think they just enjoy doing it. It's not something Kylie really, I mean, look at her. She doesn't look happy. but she and I have talked about it. We're not planning to do that unless you all tell us you want her or me to do that. They're going to tape it up on the door. Everybody's going to be able to read it. We have one polling location. We don't have two anymore. So I'm trying to make the case, but I'm also more asking, are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. Because I can be here if you're not.
I thought that's why you want to be clerk, just so you got to do that.
I mean, it's not a problem.
Now, she's got three boys and a husband. She's got that.
It's kind of a Vanna White moment for you, if you're going to take it.
A what?
Vanna White moment.
I can move the paper on that.
Yeah. All right, well, we will plan not to have anybody there, but that isn't going to change anything because the election commission people will still do all they do. They will still post the results, and then they will still be responsible for the certification of the election. I'm going to let Reagan give you our FEMA updates.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. About a year ago, of course, we all remember Hurricane Helene came through, and your staff has worked hard to get as much funds as possible back to Westminster. And a couple weeks ago, we received our final reimbursement for the work done during Helene. We still have one more pending for the cost of administration, so all the time that myself, Scott, Michael, put into meeting with FEMA to get that done, we still have to be reimbursed for that. But the city has already received $241,000 back from Hurricane Helene work. As far as I understand, we are the first people in our area of the state to receive full reimbursement, and our representatives' districts include Pickens County, Oconee County, and portions of Anderson County. So we're very excited about that and proud of that fact and the work that we did. I want to thank Scott and Michael and anyone else who supported the Helene efforts in doing that, and we should receive a final approximately $4,500 reimbursement in the next couple of weeks as that process is staked. But we are excited and thankful that we have $246,000 coming back to Westminster from Hurricane Helene. So thank you all for your efforts and your staff.
Very good.
And I'd like to thank Reagan. Having somebody absolutely bird-dogged that with FEMA, when they send an email, if you respond quickly, they respond quickly, and then they respond quickly, you respond quickly, we're able to get it done almost within the year of the event. And you all know there are communities around us that have been years in trying to get that done.
So, yep.
Michael and his group were instrumental because before Helene hit, we all sat down as a staff, and Michael went through, here's everything you need to do to get ready to document it. We followed that. Scott and his guys did it. Reagan collected it up, and then we got busy with FEMA. So when you hear Reagan talk about that, there was a lot that went into getting that done, a lot of back and forth. And these folks from D.C. coming into Westminster, they didn't believe me when I told them they could park in the 15-minute spot for 20 minutes. They're used to being 15, but I thank Reagan for getting that done.
Thank you, Reagan. Very good, bud.
Well done. And that's all we have here. Thank you.
Kevin, just one more thought on the fruit trees. If we have enough, could we put some over at the community garden?
We're trying to have a grove there. I'd be happy to find some more that we could put over there.
Casey had wanted to do that earlier on, and they planted some blueberry bushes and several trees, and they all died.
Yeah.
They're up next to the road. People come by swatting at them, hitting them. But we've got a big open field right there. That'd be a good place to put some. Anything else? Any questions for Kevin? All right, move on to item 3, approval of September 9 regular city council meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? Call for a vote.
Baby?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. There's no old business. Move on to new business. Consider first reading of ordinance 11-18-2025-01. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion.
I have some questions.
Yep.
Okay. So there's several parts of it. Especially the part where it's talking about allowing, including law enforcement and the blanks and stuff like that. But I really got down into some parts I need help with. And so when we start talking about the areas wanting to remove all references to the zoning code and instead choose to allow discharge of firearms at 25 acres or more, regardless of zoning district. So that is where I am having some really thoughts about that. The next part says, also included is a provision requiring all private gun range, such as home sporting clay ranges, to be approved in writing by the police department. I'm good with that. I really like that authority, that balance. And then we look at what it says. I'm reading this because the audio doesn't. Okay, is that okay with y'all? So it says the city was advised by legal counsel Pope Flynn that the state has preemptively occupied the field of firearm regulations for private landowners on 25 acres or less, and that municipalities may not enact more restrictive or more permissive ordinances. That's 25 or less, right? As such, the exemption on the blanket ban would only be to those parcels 25 acres or more. So I want to know, within our city, with who has 25 acres or more, how many parcels are like that in Westminster? That's one of my questions. So
I've counted, and to the best of my ability, there's about 15.
Okay.
There may be one or two that I might miss in my counting as I'm going across the map. There's about 15.
Okay. So I just got on the county website and started looking at parcels and land and where things are. There'd be one right near my house. There's somebody has 27 acres, and that means that person could do firearms and very close to my house. And I started looking at some others. So that's where my question is, Brian. When we start talking about that and removing from all that, and we have that many properties in Westminster at first, do our citizens know that? Do they know they're close to one of those areas? How do they feel about that? You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I have to step out of my council seat to my Davey lives on 202 Wahala Street. I don't want that near me, and there it is. It is near me. So, I'd like to know more information. I would like to see where those parcels are, how many houses are around that, is anyone near school, is anything, I think I looked, but there's some between my house and the Cleveland Center, where Herb is. And so I don't have enough information right now. So that's my question. Am I making sense? I just kind of want to know who that affects, who that's going to affect. And as hard as we've been working on ordinances, why do we want to remove an ordinance, and not give any, regardless of zoning, take that all away? I don't know. So I need help. That's my question.
Keith, could you kind of fill us in on that?
I can, and Mayor, council members, and I
I absolutely understand your concern last night. However, the state legislature has already addressed this issue. I mean, in section 2331.510, it has already said that local municipalities or local government entities cannot regulate for 25 or more acres and restrict the discharge of firearms. But to your point, it's not just that anyone with 25 or more acres can go out and just, you know, for fun go shoot.
Right.
It specifically addresses discharging a firearm to protect the landowner's family, employees, the general public, or the landowner's property from animals that the landowner reasonably believes pose a direct threat or danger to the property, people on the property, or the general public. And so the state legislature, and if we look at our overall system of law, you got preemption. State laws cannot take over federal law. Local municipalities cannot take over state law. And the regulation specifically says no governing body of any county, municipality, or other political subdivision in this state may enact or promulgate any regulation ordinance that regulates or attempts to regulate specifically a landowner discharging a firearm on their parcel of 25 acres or more. And if you do that, if you create an ordinance that starts trying to say within this area, you can't do it in the zone, then by the state legislature, it automatically says that that's unenforceable. So if you start dividing up in subsections, then in essence, you're just creating an unenforceable ordinance. So I hear your concern, and I'm not a decision maker, but from the law, the state's going to address this issue. So I think what is before the council for consideration is to make sure that you've got a series of restrictions, but if you're going to put restrictions in, you have to, by state law, put in this provision for 25 acres or more to allow the discharge of firearms.
So, let me make sure I'm clear on that last part. So, what do we presently have? So, what have we been working under?
Well, you've been working under basically a statute that, or an ordinance that allows it to be divided up by zones, and, which is not really what the state legislature has envisioned. Yeah. The state legislature says that if you do that, if you're going to create something that gives the municipality the ability to do that, you have to carve out the right for a property owner 25 acres or more to discharge under these conditions.
Under those conditions.
Right. So in essence, if you don't do that, everything else becomes null.
Okay. So in that first part that says you may not enact more restrictive or more permissive. So that's my question. This is more permissive.
The language that's in this ordinance is almost a copy and paste from the state legislature.
Okay.
It's specifically saying that on 25 acres or more, you can discharge a firearm to protect your family, your employees, your property, or the general public. And the 25 acres have to be contiguous.
I got you.
And that's exactly what the legislature says about it. But to your point, if someone's out just having target practice because they've got a large parcel, inside the city limits, that's not allowed under the state legislature. It wouldn't be allowed under the ordinance based on the writing of it.
Right.
Okay. Now, if they went through the other piece of it and got permission for sporting clays or private gun range, I mean, again, that would have to be through the chief and permission.
Right.
So that's just the language of it.
Yeah. What do y'all think?
Well, one of the main reasons we brought it up is when we're looking at annexing properties, that's one of the big complaints people have, is they want to be able to shoot a gun on their property.
Right.
A lot of people have bigger tracts of land. They do not want to be annexed in because they don't want to be restricted.
Right.
If you've got a big parcel of land, you may not have but three dogs on it, but you don't want a coyote coming in after your dogs, and you don't want to take a chance on getting locked up for shooting at a coyote.
Right.
But a lot of them have cows, some have horses, they have chickens, they've got livestock, and they don't want to be a part of our town because we basically say you cannot shoot a gun in Westminster. This would negate that argument from now on bigger tracts.
Well, see, I can understand that. You know, I can understand that outside citizen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the inside of the city limits that's giving me a heart.
Well, that's the thing. Just take that 40-acre farm we just turned down. If that became a part of the city limits, then they would no longer be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's why they argued, you know, they don't want to be brought in. And we hear that from other people all the time, that we're trying to take over their property, take over their rights, stop them from shooting guns. That's a big one. You live in the South, people hunt,
sure.
People want to shoot their guns. And they don't want to be a part of our town if we restrict them. So this is something that basically if we were to try to go after them, I think they would win a lawsuit against us if we tried to stop them. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I mean, we'd lose anyway. This is just publicly stating we're not going to restrict that anymore. So that'll negate one argument that we have.
Well, and my thing is, not that I don't like people outside of city limits, but I'm thinking about people inside of city limits. And are we favoring those that might have the big farm that wants to do that, and they don't want to be annexed, so if they're not going to do that, apply for that, because we don't force annexation. Because that is when you come in and sign a covenant. So if you want to do that, that's what you do. So what do I tell my community that I have gotten people calling me and saying, what is this?
We're abiding by state law. What Mr. Denny just said, that's what we're doing. That's what state law requires.
And there's nothing we can do?
The legislature has stated that no governing body, again, county, municipality, or other political subdivision in this state may enact or promulgate any regulation or ordinance that regulates or attempts to regulate
right.
The landowner discharge of firearm on the property.
I get that. But I want to know, I still want my city to know, who's in this town that has more than 25 acres? That the possibility, what's that possibility? Right. I was shocked when I looked at it.
I think a lot of the community is probably looking at that, Davey, as though someone's going to go out and just set up a firing range or just be outside, walk outside and start popping off. But there are certain standards that they have to meet in order to do it by this regulation. If they decided to put in a shooting clay, doing sporting clays or a shooting range or something, then the chief would have to go out, look at it, and review it. And that, I mean, there are times, even in counties, where that can be a possibility, where someone has such a small area, they can shoot out there, but it's not safe. And that's where the chief comes in and makes his decision and looks at it. He's not just going to go yes or no based on paperwork put in for him.
I'm not concerned about that part at all.
And I think that's what most people are worried about. But if somebody's protecting their property or their home, the farm, I think you're getting into a Second Amendment right type situation to a degree, and I may be wrong, Mr. Denny. But I think under the circumstances, I don't see any problem with it.
So you're very
comfortable
telling our community,
yes.
Telling me as a citizen, oh, Davey, don't worry about it, even though it's half a block from your house.
Yes, ma'am. I lived in Greenville County,
we
had people shooting all over the place around us. It was in the county. Yes.
Well,
and I understand.
I have a lot of, it's just kind of like looking at a movie screen and you're seeing one movie and I'm seeing another.
Yeah,
That's really what it is. I'm just focused on, how do you, if it's been around and we can't change it, I know it's state law and all those kind of things, but then why remove the zoning code or any of that, those kind of things, or change the zone? It says, that's what it says. It wants all references to zoning code, and instead she's allowed that. So why?
Because it wasn't supposed to be prohibited by zoning code.
It's against state statute, state law.
That's another good argument for you. You can just, direct people to the past. I mean, we've been redoing ordinances ever since Chris Carter was here. I mean, we've been finding old ordinances and redoing them. That wasn't the intent of this being brought up, but we did find that out, when we were looking at it. But, you can explain that. It's a state law, and our ordinance don't match state law. So, that might help.
I don't think you'll hear an extra gunshot one way or another over this. I mean, if I've got 2 acres, but if I'm needing to protect my family, I'm shooting. I think that's going to be across the board. I don't think it really matters. You'll never hear an extra gunshot over this.
I think this almost falls into when open carry became law. Everybody thought South Carolina was going to become the Wild West, and it didn't.
And Mayor and Council, if I may, just, you know, the other amendments to the ordinance that I see, I mean, item number two under it, nothing in the section shall be construed to apply the following: to prohibit any citizen from discharging a firearm lawfully, defending his person with a fear of the life or the fear of having serious bodily injury inflicted upon him, or when lawfully defending the life of another. I mean, all of these carve-outs, even the state piece of it, gives very specific examples when that can happen. So if someone is, again, I'm going to come back to, if the fear is that now they see this ordinance out there and they believe that they've got 25.1 acres, they're going to go out and start, you know, just having shooting on whatever on any given, for any given reason. That's not allowed. The ordinance doesn't allow it. The state law didn't allow it. And, you know, if they're going to do that, they're probably doing it anyway. And they probably need to be, you know, addressed.
Because most of the time the law is called for the people who abide by the law.
Yes,
yeah. Right. Yes. And that's how it is. It, and the world that we live in is just what the world that we live in. I know that.
Mm.
But it is concerning to me. And I think sometimes my only criticism of being on council, and it's not just this council, is not really letting people know what's going on in your neighborhood or what's coming. And that's the hardest part about everything is communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to really bring that out so we can talk about that, and, you know, if I can't do anything about it, I can't do anything about it.
Well, I appreciate that. I understand that concern. Anyone have anything else? Call for a vote.
Ruth?
No.
Jamie?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Next, move on to item 5, consider a bid award of the Foothills Contracting Service. Do we have a motion?
Motion to consider the bid of Foothills Contracting Service.
Second.
Discussion.
Yes, sir, Mayor. I'm going to hand most of this off to Reagan, but back when we received Appalachian Regional Commission grant, I think it was back in 2021, 2022, we did a downtown master plan, and a part of that master plan included a new streetscape design along all of Main Street. We then divided Main Street and then the side feeder streets in between Windsor and Main. And we then hired Seaman Whiteside to come up to take that master plan design and actually refine it, make it something that was constructible. We went out, we received I'm going to say three grants now, but two primarily. One was another Appalachian Regional Commission grant for construction. One was a community development block grant. And then we were able to use Oconee County C funds to help match those two funding entities. It's hard to really describe when you think about that project, but really, as you come down Main Street in between Lucky and Retreat Street, the dividing line between the community development block grant portion of the project and the ARC portion of the project is the curve. So it's that thin. It's very thin. But we wanted it that way because we want to be able to do all that together at one time, Main Street as well as Gray Street. We've been working through quite a bit of hurdles in making sure we bid it the way both the community development block grant and the Appalachian Regional Commission grant requires. Both of those are federally sourced funds that come through the South Carolina Department of Commerce, so we have to follow federal and state procurement rules in that. The design had to also make sure that it followed that. The Oconee County C funds have restrictions on what they can and cannot be used for, so they're been quite a bit of layering of these funds, as well as you approved $130,000 in the $4.8 million utility bond issue for us to any water or electric or sewer service that we needed to do in there. If there's any sewer, it's very little and it's on Retreat Street. Most of it is going to be water main for hydrants. So we bid this out with Seaman Whiteside and our representative at the Appalachian Council of Governments, Arlene Young. I think most of y'all have met Arlene by this point. Maybe she was at the last council meeting, I think, because we held the public hearing. So you have all met Arlene. Arlene does a great job of guiding us through the complex rules and regulations so that we can benefit from this money. Reagan and Scott have done a lot of work to make sure that we are getting out of this project what we wanted to get. When we held a pre-bid conference, we had 12 people attended. I think that represented either six or eight different contractors, and ultimately two contractors bid on it, and that's what you have in front of you. The low bidder, Foothills Contracting, is actually within our budget. After reviewing the bids that came in, Arlene Young looked at this and said, I think you can get more money out of the Appalachian Region Commission and possibly the Community Development Block Grant because more of those funds could apply here. She is actively working to secure more of those funds, and it may be that we come out of this without any local money in it at all, which I think would be great. The way this works is we're asking you to consider approving it based off of the South Carolina Department of Commerce's approval of the bid. They have the final say in whatever we do or don't do, so your approval is conditional on their approval. There are some things that we are able to change in the scope of work, but we can't change the scope of work until you award the bid. So the way that would work is you award the bid, and then we can issue a change order right out of the gate. For instance, if you look in there, there's two adult swings in there that are rather expensive, and we've gone through why did those things come back so expensive. My recommendation to you would be, if those don't meet any of the matching requirements, rather than use $70,000 of city money, that we take those out, and then we would put a bench back in there and come back. That just seems rather high, but both bidders bid that particular component a bit high. If you look at the two bids, you'll see there's quite a bit of difference between the mobilization on that, and that's because AOS Specialty Contractors comes out of Columbia, and Foothills Contracting is coming out of the Clemson Central area. So there's a lot of things when you start looking at this, the differences are coming from them being close versus far away, whether or not they're housing their workers locally or just driving over to the site. We were pleased that it came very close to budget, and with Arlene going back, she can get additional funds that will qualify. That was very encouraging. And then part of what Reagan and Scott will do will be to sit down with the South Carolina Department of Transportation to make sure that anything that we're going to apply C funds to meets their criteria for being included. So we don't want to tell them we believe it's included and submit reimbursement requests, and they say, no, that wasn't included. We're going to have that conversation. The bids are currently 30 days old, and they're good for 90 days. We believe that we'll be able to have all this cleared with the Department of Commerce within 90 days. Really, the thing that's holding us up right now down in Columbia is when Arlene presented to them, hey, you could give Westminster more money here. And as of today, they have agreed to consider that. So they hadn't agreed to consider that until we got that email today. And I know I said I was going to turn this over to you, but I wanted you to kind of know some of the background there. A lot of the T's and C's Reagan has done the bulk of the work with Seaman Whiteside on. Scott and his guys have had quite a bit of input in how we'll do it. And I really do appreciate Scott's engineering perspective on doing a streetscape project. He may even have done one or two in his background. But anyway, staff recommends approval. as we've written it, subject to contract review and approval by the funding agencies. And like I said, that's going to be the South Carolina Department of Commerce, one in the Community Development Block Grant capacity and one in the Appalachian Regional Commission capacity. Did I leave anything to say, Greg?
The only other thing I would add is we request that motion be made in the not to exceed amount form. So not to exceed the minimum. That's the straight question, not to exceed that.
What's the difference in the relocation of the utility poles? Why is there such a huge discrepancy there?
I don't know. We're going to take that out. We're going to relocate those poles.
Right.
We've been talking about that recently, and there's four poles. It shouldn't be that much.
Yeah.
Don't know why there's a big discrepancy in there. These are aluminum light poles. It is well within our capability to do that.
Yeah.
That will be one of the things that we remove from that. Every now and again, Mayor, I don't know, you guys work in this. I don't know if they look at that as a chance to market up one.
Yeah.
Trying to make the bid on one, and one's trying to make money on one. I can't really.
Yeah, that was so big.
Yeah.
$440,000 to $7,000. That's huge.
Yeah. Well, we intend to pull that out. And it was better. So as an alternate, yeah. Yeah, we're not recommending the alternates.
So if I did my math right, the larger one is over $1 million more.
Yeah, and we've gone through, and when you get down into some of the nitty-gritty, they aren't that far off in terms of price. Some of it, when you look at it, it has to do with their location.
Yeah.
And the Foothills got it, and so you also know, Foothills is the one that did Anderson Park. And while I wish we had gone quicker on Anderson Park, they did complete theirs within the timeline that they were given. The timeline on this one is to be done by September, so that we are ready for Apple Festival and go right into Bigfoot next year. So we're really only anticipating having disruption for the Christmas parade and the location of the Christmas trees, and then some disruption to the businesses that are on within the project area, but we will work around as best we can to minimize the amount of time that disruption and the disruption itself happens.
I would just suggest we do a door-to-door to all those businesses a couple weeks out and just say, look, just come in, there's nothing we can do to stop it. It's going to be in the way. So we're really going to
And we have more vacancies in that block than
yeah.
we do on any other block in town.
Yeah. And both the others have access from the back. They just need to let their customers know that. Very good. Anybody have any more questions?
So this is to award the bid, is where we're at this point.
This is for you to award the bid subject to contract review and approval.
Gotcha.
Not to exceed.
Not to exceed $2,158,005. We very likely are going to be cheaper than that when we go in and do the deducts on the change orders for the things that, like I said, those swings, they both bid them really high.
What are they?
We had envisioned them being metal post with a metal swing, like
yeah.
a porch swing.
Mm-hmm.
Why they both put that much money to them, I don't know.
Well, I will tell you, that is a...
For the swing of things for $250.
I was going to say, that's a huge hit. I mean, there's two or three places we go spend weekend, and people love having them swings on Main Street,
yeah.
but it's a municipal association. Those came up, and one thing they highly recommend is put a divider in the middle of the swing.
Most people don't.
Because you'll have homeless people sleeping in. They said, make sure you do that, something that stays there, because you will have people sleeping in them.
Well, it's the kind of thing, and I don't mean to promote a particular business, but swinging things. And
oh, yeah.
We bought those swings that we put at Anderson Park for $250.
Yeah.
And they donated one. So we can come back later and add these in. What I'm very pleased is that we're within budget. It's like
yes.
you remember when we did Anderson Park, we had to do that three times to be able to get it in budget. And sometimes that happens with these federal grants where it just takes a while to secure the money and then to get the contracts.
You want to make your clarify the motion?
Yeah, make sure I'm good here. Make the motion to award the bid to Foothills Contracting Service LLC of Central South Carolina for the all-inclusive base bid amount not to exceed $2,158,005.
Second.
Any more discussion or questions?
Dale, do you mind adding to that the last parenthetical phrase that says subject to contract review and approval by funding agency?
Sure. Adding into that, subject to contract review and approval by the funding agencies. There you go. And it has to be reseconded.
Yes.
Thank you.
Call for a vote, please.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
All right, next we need a motion to consider the acceptance of the 2025 Undiscovered South Carolina grant. We need a motion for that.
Second. Yes.
No, we need a motion.
I make a motion to accept it.
I second it.
All right, we have a second. Please explain.
All right, Mayor and Council, so you all probably have not heard of this before, but South Carolina Parks, Recreation, and Tourism every year offers what they call an Undiscovered SC grant program. And there are lots of goals and objectives in the grant program. One of them is meant to highlight portions of South Carolina that folks may not see otherwise, as well as to drive businesses into your downtown. So if you look at the drawing that says mock illustration only that you have here, we wrote a grant to the SCPRT to install a William Bartram statue in Retreat Street Park. The reason that it would go in Retreat Street Park is because it's in the downtown, and the idea is that you put an amenity that you can attract people to drive commerce into downtown. The grant is for $190,000. It is a 50-50 match. I'm not asking you to allocate any city funds to this. I believe that we're capable of fundraising the $90,000 that we need to match the grant, because this is not a Westminster or an Oconee County project. This is a Southeastern regional project. If you've not heard of William Bartram, he was one of the first Europeans that walked around the Southeast in the mid-1700s to document the flora and the fauna around the Southeast. There are people who hold conferences to talk about William Bartram. There was the William Bartram Trail Conference down in Florida sometime in August. If you've heard of the Bartram Bass, that you can only, where can you only fish those for?
Samara River Watershed.
It's the only place you can find that. If you go up to Lake Jocassee and you get the right tour on Lake Jocassee Tours, you can actually find one of the few Bartram magnolias that exist out in the wild. When I talked to the guy at Head Lee, I said, I want to buy a Bartram magnolia. He said, the only one I've ever seen is in an arboretum in Alabama. I said, well, for what it's worth, Jocassee Lake Tour says there's one up on Lake Jocassee. The thing is, you can see that I geek out just a little bit on it because I read the book. I read the book because a guy named Ron Rash wrote a book about a sheriff in Oconee County, and in that book about Sheriff Oconee County, he referenced this book, so I went back and I read it. I think it was it was very interesting for me to read. He actually may not have walked through Westminster, although when I talked to Sammy Dixon about it, he said he's pretty sure he saw the guy come out of Lucky Strike. Nobody can prove him wrong. So I'll go with Sammy on that one. So with PRT bringing in $90,000, I asked Denise McCormick if she would lead a small group to help come up with the artistic design, the funding, and the historical elements that would go into it. So imagine that there would be a statue maybe similar to what you see on that picture, maybe a bit different. There may be a mural that comes with it, but then there would also be educational panels, and we want any information that would be put in there that is stated to be factually accurate based off of the historic documents. The white-tailed deer, the apple, the Bartram bass, the magnolia tree, those are a number of things that are easily associated with this that I believe could be easily incorporated into a small space within Retreat Street Park. Now, we all know Retreat Street's not a big park to start with, but I believe we can minimize the footprint of this within probably some of the existing mulch beds. Then we would be able to advertise this statue, which, to my knowledge and research, there is not another William Bartram statue in the southeast, maybe in the whole. Let's just go ahead and say the whole world, because I don't think anybody else that would honor the guy. There are places all around the country, particularly down in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and North Carolina, that are very interested in talking about William Bartram and his contributions to American culture and society. I'll also mention that he was one of the earliest ethnographers. He documented a lot of how the Cherokee lived. When he would travel from one place to another, he would travel with a member of the Cherokee, the Lower Cherokee, and he would have someone introduce him to the next group that he came to so they wouldn't kill him. And you can imagine what it was like roaming around on horseback. Back in those days, you needed to be introduced so that no one would hurt you. Many of the places that he likely walked are underwater right now, Lake Kiawee, Lake Hartwell, and Joe Cassie. So anyway, I think it's a grand idea. It's something that we don't have. I believe that is the type of thing that we put a card down in Charleston. You can put a card over in all the big Stone Mountain, Georgia. You can put some of these down in Jacksonville, Florida, to say that this statue is here. And amongst those Bartram geeks that are out there, which I may quickly be becoming one, they're going to find this and they're going to want to come visit this location to pay tribute and to read more about it. I believe the only document or the only public monument to Bartram's travels through Oconee County is actually up on Highway 130 near the Oconee Nuclear Station. There's one of those historic signs that says the William Bartram Trail, and it is along the believed route that he took. So I believe that Denise and I have already met, or I don't believe Denise and I have already met. Denise and I have already met. I believe that she and I have put together a pretty solid plan to bring in folks that have the historical mindset to make sure this is accurate, as well as the design elements to be able to get this done within the budget. And you'll see there the... And I did put the price amounts in there. You guys know when we advertise the prices, usually when we put something out to bid, they come back at the price we advertise. So I withheld some of the numbers on that. But you can see the activities that we would envision putting in here. I also believe, and this was Denise's, not that I necessarily need it, but she reminded me how good this would also be for the school children of Oconee County to have this as a resource to be able to learn from. So with that, staff recommends approval.
Any questions, comments?
Yeah, I like the story of William Bartram. I got to read a little bit about it after we talked about it previously and stuff like that. I appreciate his studies in botany and his ambassadorship, I would say, possibly with the Cherokee Indian. But I started looking at the route, and like you said, there's nothing to show that he actually came into Westminster. He actually came up to Hartwell out of Georgia, and then traveled southeast to Calhoun, entered Anderson, Lower Anderson, L.A., came up through Anderson, went to Seneca, which was an old Cherokee Indian town at the time, then traveled north to Salem up around Fort Prince, I believe is the name of it, Fort Prince George, then went northwest and then south a little bit more staying along the lower Cherokee, the trails going to a lower road going to the Cherokee villages on the lower part, then crossed over going north again back to the middle and overhill towns. I appreciate it. I would think that probably one of the statues or something along those lines, that if we're looking at art and statues, should be something that pertain more to Westminster instead of something northern county. And I realize it would draw attention. If you go to most of your towns, and I grew up in Greenville, so I refer to Greenville a lot, but you've got Max Heller over there, and you've got the children from Sterling that are on Main Street. You've got a hog that is about, I don't know, somewhere from over in Italy and some other places, which Europa knows you're supposed to get good luck and all this other stuff. But I would think that there would be something a little bit more personal to Westminster if we were going to put a statue in at first. And I appreciate the educational value of it for sure, and the possibility of tourism. But I'm not 100% convinced that Westminster is that. And I hate to give favor to another city, but I would think, since he visited Seneca, that would be a better location for it. And I'm not trying to put down a town or stop tourism by any means, but I just don't see where it works well, possibly. That's just my thoughts.
Anything else?
Well, I really appreciate it. One thing that we know about our Cook County, we try to bring us all together, right? And in this, it is really a draw to bring everything that's going around in Oconee County, when we know the only tree up there is in the top of Oconee, and those kind of things. And I think statues are great of people in town that we know, but I don't think that's what people look for. There are societies with this, like with other things, like you talked about the school system, to be able to draw, because if we put up like a local hero or somebody like that, Charleston doesn't care. You know, that they might, if they come through and see it, appreciate it. But that's just my worldview, okay? That's my worldview, that it's a big picture. And sometimes we do things right in town when we got the lady who made the Gail Marston Gill, most beautiful of all the metal tree you've ever gotten, right? And we recognize our folks as much as we can. But it's that big picture trying to get people to our county, because we know every time the county comes, then we got money to give out to grants so we can do more things. So I think it's a great idea. And knowing Denise McCormick and knowing her work and what she gets, when she has passion about something, I just think it would be a successful thing to be part of. So.
And a lot of that was the thought behind it, David. Mm-hmm. It was to attract something that is not here.
Sure.
And it was to use a figure of historic significance that we could claim as our own. So with due respect, I disagree with pretty much everything you said.
That's fine. And I appreciate it. And that's what all this is about. I mean, you know, that's why we have a council, and I mean, we can agree to disagree on things. I just don't see the relevance of it. I would much rather, since he was dealing with Cherokee coming across, I would almost, if we were going to put a personal statue of some sort, made something toward the Cherokee who were actually run out of this area and to Oklahoma or had to hide in the mountains, and give a nod to the people that actually began this area.
We don't want to do something controversial either.
Yeah,
and
no,
you're
exactly.
Talking about that, we start going that way when you start talking about those things. So.
Well, personally, if it's not costing us anything at all, if fundraising and a grant can cover the cost of it, I mean, I don't have any issues with it. I think my biggest concern was us having to pay for it. But if you think they can raise the funds for it, if Denise is confident she can raise the funds for it, that was the biggest issue. And the thing about it, I mean, we're doing a lot for the kids who are in athletics with the park. We're doing a lot with Anderson Park for the young kids to have something to do. We're doing the downtown streetscape. A lot of people are going to get involved in that. And this will just be something for the Historical Society to kind of jump on board with and let them know we're looking at all the citizens. So I can see that. And I understand Dale's comments as well. if it's costing us money, I could see it. But if it's free, I think we can handle it. Anyone else? Call for a vote.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am.
Dale?
No, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Jimmy? Yes.
Next, item 7, need a motion to consider the designation and purchase of S&C 440 switchgear.
I make the motion to consider the designation the purchase of S&C 440 switchgear as a sole source for procurement.
Roll on, Mr. Brunson.
I'll make a second.
You got a motion, you need your second.
Do we have a second? I thought she seconded, yep.
Mayor and Council, we spoke a little bit earlier tonight about the underground utility project and the impact that'll have to our community. As such, we've worked hard to try to get that RFP out as quickly as possible, moving forward with that bid process as we speak. One component of that, the RFP that we created does not have the raw materials included. It's just the labor and the equipment to do so. One of the components that we need, we found, is very difficult to procure in a timely manner. That's one of the switch gears, and Scott certainly can tell you a little more about specifics than I can, but that's a component that sits at the end of the two undergrounds, is my understanding of it, that connects it to the rest of the system. We've reached out to several folks trying to see if there's just any available that they'd be willing to part with for Westminster. And we found that none of our regular contacts or providers have that available, and if they do, it could be over a year lead time if they can get it at all. And so what we as your staff asked you tonight is that you allow us, instead of bidding this process out, Blue Ridge Electric Co-op has indicated to us as your staff that they have the switchgear ready and that they can help Westminster in doing so. We ask that you allow us to do sole source procurement so we can secure that part while we can, while we have the ability to do that with Blue Ridge now. And as such, they can provide that fairly quickly to us. We also already have an existing maintenance agreement with Blue Ridge where they provide us support. They were instrumental in that during Hurricane Helene to help support us. And so we have some of that infrastructure in place with Blue Ridge to make this type of transaction happen. Additionally, the procurement code does allow for this. So any material that costs over $100,000 requires it to be bid out through a formal RFP, which is a 30-day window, which would potentially further delay this project. But it does allow that if council agrees, we can procure this as, quote, sole source, meaning we don't have to go through the full procurement process when certain qualifications are met. We believe that they are. That Blue Ridge has the ability to deliver a unique material service and also can do it in a timely manner. So staff requests that City Council designate this as a sole source procurement in an amount not to exceed $130,000.
Any questions by anybody?
Is it to Mayor? I'd like Scott to give an update that I believe we got today.
New update.
I didn't
know about that. Sir? New update. Go ahead.
New update. So, Taylor reached out to Blue Ridge about the switchgear. They did say that they had it, and they were evaluating to see if it was something that they could in fact park with. We were told earlier that, in fact, they cannot right now because of the lead time. They were looking at replacement time and their current inventory, and their concern was the ability to replace that inventory at a decent time. And they're saying the same thing that we were with 9 months to a year to replace that. So as of right now, we're not going to be able to get that in Blue Ridge. So that puts us back into working with our other suppliers to see who can get it to us the quickest. But the quickest times that we're seeing right now are 9 to 12 months. So that's going to be a key in our project. We can get everything else done and ready, but until these units are in place, we can't go pop with that wire, that line there. So that's the latest that we've got. We're still exploring options to see. Kevin's reached out to some of the other local providers that providers to see if anyone has anything in stock that they're willing to part with and reorder. But just to try to speed the process up. But as of right now, we don't have a solid lead on anything closer.
So do you want a motion so that if you find one, you can go ahead?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we reached out to the group you guys are familiar with called SCAMPS. Mm-hmm. That's the South Carolina Municipal Power Supply Providers. Even though they have a new name, we all know it by that old name. I sent that email out this afternoon after we heard from Blue Ridge. And so I'm decently hopeful. And then we also got a lead on another company that may be able to provide it. Any way we do it, I think having a sole source on it would be helpful in us procuring it in a timely fashion.
Do you need the you need that amended, the motion, or is that clear? Just we're going to basically give you a blanket.
Like it is because we didn't put in the in that write up for consideration that it would necessarily be with Blue Ridge.
Okay.
And then if for whatever reason it comes higher than 130, we would bring that back to the council.
Gotcha.
130 and under, we would go ahead and secure it.
All right. Any more questions? Call for a vote.
Dale?
Yes, ma'am.
Adam?
Yes, ma'am.
Davey?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes, ma'am. Well, next, item 8, discussion regarding Oklahoma Joint Regional Sewer Authority Reconstitution Committee's proposed unified sewer system and new authority. You
yes,
have the floor.
Mayor, at the last council meeting, I got to do one of my fun PowerPoints that I know everybody enjoys, especially me. It's inside staff joke. The staff doesn't enjoy them quite as much as I do. However, if you will turn into your, I don't know how to get you to in your agenda, there is a list from the OJRSA, and it has, it's got the OJRSA head at the, header at the top. And it's got red answers. Westminster is listed first. It has the questions that you posed to me during that discussion. It has the questions that came from the Wahala City Council.
What pages?
106, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
West Union and Seneca. And then there were no formal questions submitted by Oconee County, and I don't believe they've actually contemplated the resolution just yet. I think they will do that either later this month or early in November. So the committee, of which I am a part, also has a number of consultants that help with that. Catherine Amidon with Bolton & Meek, Angie Metlin with Adura, which is a new, I think they used to be W.K. Dixon, Joel Jones, who is retired executive with REWA, as well as Lawrence Flynn as legal counsel. So the questions that you posed to me that we documented, I sent to them, and they are here for your review. We can do this however you like. I can just read the answers if you want to take that amount of time for it. We can discuss it. I expect, and we talked about this week at the Reconstitution Committee meeting, that this is very likely an iterative process. So they come up with a recommendation, it comes back to you. Have questions, we send it back and forth. So how would you like to go about this? I'm going to just let you expect that you've read it, let you read it. There isn't any action that is asked of you tonight. If you have any additional questions, you can just send me an email and I can document those and make sure they get to the committee by its next meeting, and then put those responses back in your next council agenda. Really am open to doing whatever you may be interested in doing.
Is there anything in this that raises concerns to you?
No. I was looking for the one. So at the next committee meeting, we are going to consider how to cost share the financial and technical analysis. And that will be a decision point for you as a council, because let's just say it's $100,000 And if you were to do it strictly based off of percentage of or usage at that plant, Westminster will be around 10 to 12% of that. So that'd be $10,000 to $12,000 that Westminster would provide as its portion of, or its share of that financial and technical evaluation. So that's an unknown right now. But there's no way to know it until they actually come up with a cost-sharing mechanism. The other thing that I wanted to just point out when you asked that question is number seven. What happens if a city decides not to participate? There's been a lot of discussion about what happens if one of the cities does not participate. What does that mean for that city? It can mean all the way from what I told you last time, which was contemplated by the ad hoc feasibility committee, that that city would have to get its own permit from DES, which we usually used to refer to as DA, all the way to you would have to have a contract to discharge that wastewater with the sewer authority. That's not been fully vetted at this point. Back when the grant was awarded by the State Rural Infrastructure Authority, the Rural Infrastructure Authority asked the OJRSA board to commit to do whatever the study said it should do, and the study said you should consolidate. Took the money. So there's things that would have to be vetted out if you as a city council would decide not to do that, or if one of the other cities would decide not to do that. There's just a lot of things that we'll have to consider once we get further in what happens if someone decides not to. So right now, Adam, I think the big thing is you had questions, the other cities had questions. Here's what they are. Here's what the responses were. There's still some more work to be done. We're not at the point of asking you as a council to make any decisions other than we're still kind of heading into what I would call that consolidation time period. Will we or won't we? And when we accepted that money, we said that we would. Well, let me clarify. When the sewer authority accepted the money, the sewer authority said that it would. You're an independent counsel from that sewer authority, so you aren't necessarily bound by that same money.
And it was highly recommended we do this.
It was very
highly recommended.
Well, and you may or may not recall, this study started when there was a threat of lawsuit by the city of Seneca for additional representation on that board, to which Westminster, Wahala, and the sewer authority all disagreed with. And ultimately, while Seneca said they would file the suit, they did not. And the folks in Columbia recommended this course of action.
Now we're just waiting on more information.
Waiting on more. Unless you have some questions or additional questions that I can forward to the committee.
There are no major decisions we have to make before the new council gets seated, are they? Okay. Yep.
No, I expect that, that reconstitution committee is meeting about a week ahead of this council each time, that it could very likely be after March, before what I would call hard decision. That financial decision on how to do the financial and technical analysis could come at the December meeting. We didn't budget for that. But Mayor, I'm trying to think and then we'll talk at the same time. I think that may be the only thing that you may be asked to decide on before the January council. which I think it will be after that. I think it, like I said, yeah.
All right.
I think it's worth making note that as I look at these other city questions, a lot of them say the answers are refer back to Westminster number 8 and or some other ones. Because there's been a question on, like when we did the PMPA stuff, we didn't do enough research. But we're having the same questions, and we're I think it's worth noting that we're trying to get the best deal that we can get and find out what's best for the community.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that a lot of the councils had the same questions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For back to that.
So we're trying.
Which, not that you necessarily needed to be validated with your questions, but
right.
I think it does validate you in the questions.
Well, this council is well known for asking a lot of questions, doing a lot of research. They did it all through the PMPA and this as well. So a lot of the rhetoric we've been hearing is a little uninformed.
Yeah. So, Mayor, in terms of this, I don't believe we had it as an action item. I believe it was just discussion.
Right.
So if you're good with that, I can ramble on if y'all are asleep if you need me to.
Everybody all clear? We'll move on to the next discussion. Regarding the location of the city Christmas tree and Christmas parade route for Christmas 2025. Have at it.
I'm going to get out of the way of this one. I'm going to hand this one over to Reagan.
Yeah.
This one is certainly more exciting.
Yeah.
So, with tonight's approval of the downtown streetscape bids, pending agency, sections of Main Street in between Lucky and Retreat, as well as Retreat Street, will be likely under construction during the time that we usually hold our Christmas parade, which is scheduled for December 5th, first Friday, December evening, beginning at 6 p.m. So we've told you before, we've been working on some alternate routes, and the parade routes, what we propose, and we would like your feedback. And if you agree, please let us know. Instead of taking the right at the marquee sign, just take the left on onto Windsor Street instead of continuing down Main. We love going through our downtown, but just with construction, we believe this to be both the safest and the most likely route. Fred has already signed off on it. Scott has already signed off on it. And so they'll have a lot of their folks out there. We already closed this stretch of road anyways when we do the parade. And so it won't be a whole lot of additional, maybe some side streets. We'll need some additional personnel at them, but we don't believe this will be a super heavy lift. And that will extend from the Ingalls area where we usually line up at, behind the church over there, extend down East Main Street, take the left on East Windsor Street in front of City Hall, and then finish at 76 Supply. Just want to see if y'all have any thoughts or questions or changes to that proposed change.
I think that's the only option we have.
Yeah.
And if you put the tree right there at the church, I mean, that's the biggest parking area we have in town. Most people are parked there anyway for the parade.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So I think that would work out really well.
So, Chief, where will the traffic be able to go on, maybe on North Avenue to cut around during the parade? Are you all allowed to stop that traffic all the way?
We're probably going to stop it all the way, just like we do for the Apple Festival.
Okay.
And send them down, what is that, North Field?
Yeah, that's okay.
If 76 fills up, do we have like a secondary place where we can direct them off to participants in the parade? I don't, just like that.
Turn it, when they get to the end of the parade, you know how they always start coming back? They come back up that street that we're going to be running down. So I know what he's saying. When we get all this parade traffic down there to 76, where do they go?
We can always direct them back to the parking lot at the railroad track, because that'll be well outside the construction.
Sure.
There you go.
So
we'd stop it before you get to 76 and go ahead and turn them up by the bank.
Turn
it back by the bank. Right. There you go. That'd work.
That's a good move.
Yep.
That would be noted.
Everybody good with that?
Everybody. Well, I said that. I want to make sure chiefs are good with that. After we had a chance to talk about that, right, we need to change it. We'll come back.
Sure.
Sometimes I do things on the fly and then later they bust that.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell if I was getting side eye or not.
Is everybody good with the tree at the church, or does anybody have any other opinions on that one?
I think we
church has agreed to that.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
As of yesterday.
It's the highest, almost the highest point. Grades going down that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a nerd, so I like it not to be too bright. So the tree will be brighter than the lights, because City Hall parking lot, that area is very bright, you know, kind of. And then it's not mentioned, but the other trees, you know.
We were still going to put those at the depot.
See, I think that'd be perfect, because the depot will still have the trees and stuff like that, just for the people that are facing.
The depot will still be accessible.
Sure,
the gazebo
sure.
will be right in front of the project area, but the depot will not be, that'll sure. be fully accessible for decorating it.
Good.
I like it.
Anyone have anything else? Need to move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There you go.
I just wanted to tell y'all something. That little circle on the bottom where it's 649,000 at 5 o'clock is now 695,000 views. Just in case y'all
are. Jessica, thank you for this. That's great.
Well, this package.